Sesame Paul, what are you doing with that pistol down your pants? I said to her, honey, that ain't no pistol.
What's up, everybody? Joe here from Podcast Rock City, and with me this week is Mr. Jody Havnot.
Hey, Kiss Army. What's up?
And D-Rock.
What's up, everybody?
Hey, you see, guys, how you doing on your week? Pretty good?
Yeah, it's going.
Yeah.
It's going.
Yeah, I had to get through this week because now we're in the Super Bowl week, and my team's in the Super Bowl. Yeah! So I'm a little excited about that. We'll have to figure out how to do some recording for next Sunday.
Yeah.
Especially if my team wins.
We have to do it on Monday again.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so I wanted to talk to you guys about some things that I saw on the internet today.
Podcast Rock City News.
Here's the thing. I'm only going by what was reported on a Facebook page, okay?
Oh.
But somebody sent a message, like a Facebook message on Kiss, I believe it was Kiss Chikara, and it said, I was just listening to Hair Nation, right? That's the satellite radio channel.
Okay.
And they said that Paul Stanley's concussion is a hoax.
Jeez.
Because his band is not selling tickets.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know, here's the thing. I don't believe it either, but why would they say that? You know what I mean?
Well, if they said that. Stupid, man. I mean, he wants to play those shows. If he really could, he would. And I don't think he's really worried about selling a million tickets, or he'd be trying to play a bigger venue.
Right. Well, that's my thing. Why would, if these people really said that, of course, I'm only going by what somebody posted on, I believe it was Kiss Chikara, and, you know, which is a great Facebook page if you guys have never checked it out. But it is kind of weird, don't you think?
I think it's kind of stupid. Please.
I think it's just like everything else, you know, somebody's always got to be talking crap about somebody, you know.
Like he really went through the trouble of announcing a fake concussion just to like save face over Soul Station gigs. Come on.
Hey, I agree. That's why I thought it was really weird.
Stupid.
Yeah, okay. Let's move forward. The
shoot that one down and move on.
I did. Hey, guys, listen, don't forget you can send us messages or emails on podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. I didn't feel like waiting for the good. That's another one. podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. And you know, anything you want to hear us talk about, feel free to send us a suggestion. Take 2 seconds. Type in, hey, Joe, I want to hear you talk about the originals. Hey, Joe, I want to hear you talk about, you know, whatever, and we'll do it. So the LA Kiss Expo was yesterday. Did you guys see any video on that?
I haven't seen any video, but I haven't really had a chance to look. I did see a photo that Bruce tweeted of him and Peter, though. That was pretty cool.
Right, that was pretty cool. And our friend Courtney, she posted some video of Pris on stage with Bruce Kulick, which was pretty cool.
Oh, right on.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. And I haven't really seen a lot of video. That's really strange. Normally in these things, people are posting video and pictures, and I don't know. I just didn't see a whole lot of it. But I don't have an expo here in Atlanta, man. I really need one. So if there's anybody out there that wants to pay for one.
You should just do it yourself, dude.
Yep. And Jody, didn't you have something strange happen to you this week with Gene Simmons?
Oh, well, I tweeted Gene because I cannot find on the internet like any information about his gig coming up, right? Except on Wizard World, which is they're mostly just selling the tickets for the Comic-Con. It doesn't say anything about if he's playing there or not. So I tweeted him. I said, where are you playing in St. Louis? And all he tweeted me back was wizardworld.com. So it was basically useless.
It's still cool that he tweeted you back.
Yeah, thanks, Gene. You tried to help, but it led me back to where I've been looking.
Was you know already. Man, you know, it's just like, you know, getting them to tweet you is hard, you know? If they've got a million followers, forget it. Your tweet gets lost.
Yeah. But yeah, he took the time to try to help. So that was pretty cool of Gene. Thanks, bro.
Okay. Also, there was an interview from the NAMM show with Tommy Thayer. I think you sent that to me, didn't you?
Yeah.
It was cool. It was pretty good.
It's on the Gibson channel.
Yeah. Tommy Thayer is a pretty cool guy.
Did you notice he has his haircut to kind of match the Ace.
Yeah.
The Ace look from that, with that outfit. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah. I thought it was too. And, yeah, you know, he falls in line. He's a good worker. You know, your boss comes up to you and says, this is what we're going to do. And you go, all right, yeah. No problem. You know, yeah. I would too.
Mm-hmm. Now he's got the greatest hair, right? According to Courtney.
Yep. Yeah. It just flows. It's all feathered. Anyway, all right. Well, let's do some. Let's come up with our subject here.
Podcast Rock City, topic of the week.
This week we decided to talk about a record that we have yet to talk about in 100 and how many episodes?
100 and something episodes.
130.
It's like 150.
I think we're at 138 and this is 139 or something like that. So we have never discussed
Kiss, Love Gun, Blister, G, 6 feet. Ace, Peter, Kiss, Love Gun, on Casablanca Records and Tapes.
Love Gun. That was me. That was my best.
That's pretty nice.
Love Gun. So,
that's crazy. We've never talked about Love Gun, one of the, like, greatest Kiss albums of all time.
It's so important to me. I love it so much. And I wanted to start off by looking it up. I looked up the Wikipedia of Love Gun, right?
I thought that's not cool to have facts on your podcast, dude.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's too bad.
Yeah. Believe it or not, there may be some casual fans that don't know every single little fact, and it's good to get them out there. So, anyways, that said, let's get these facts out the way.
Here we go. Check this out, though. It was recorded in May 1977, released in June 1977. That's good turnaround.
Yeah. The coolest part about that, though, is think about it. Kiss was on top of the world at this time, right? They played in February at Madison Square Garden, right?
Right.
March, they're in Japan. And then by May, they're already recording fucking Love Gun, you know?
Right.
So they went in the studio knowing they were the shit.
Yep.
And the Gallup poll was at that same time.
Yep, same time. So the album's pretty long too, 33 minutes, which is pretty long for Kiss, you know?
Yeah.
The singles from Love Gun were Love Gun and Christine 16. I did not know that Christine 16 got... I guess I knew it was a single, but I didn't realize that it was one of only two songs.
Yeah, the coolest part is it's backed with Shock Me.
Charting. This was one of the things that I wanted to. Australian album chart was 13. It peaked. Canadian was 3. German, 18. Swiss was 8. Swedish was 6. And the U.S. was number 4. So it's still, you know, found its way into the top 5 in the U.S., which is pretty amazing, you know?
Yeah, but when you look at it, though, they were the biggest band in the world at the time. Of course, it's gonna.
Yeah,
it shipped platinum.
It shipped platinum, so that it was certified platinum, which is pretty awesome. You know, I would like to have something like that happen to me.
Yeah, people have that much faith that it's gonna sell that it ships platinum. It's pretty cool.
You know, Eddie Kramer did it, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're on the trajectory with Eddie because of, like, Destroyer being so different to them. You know, they wanted to get back to their roots.
Yeah.
And they use them for did. Rock and Roll Over, too.
Yeah. Pretty much I felt like they did with that record. When you think Love Gun, what's the besides the title song, what's the other song that really jumps into your mind?
I still hear love. Right off the bat.
Both of you?
Definitely.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think the whole album's really strong, though. When did you get it as far as being a Kiss fan, Joe? Did you get it when it was new? Because for me, you know, I didn't become a Kiss freak till the 80s, but this was the fourth one I ever had.
I went over to a buddy's house, and he had it, and I was like, damn, another one, basically. And that's when I got it, but I can't remember the actual year, but I remember walking into his room, and he was just standing there holding it, and I was like, oh, man. It was one of those things where I didn't grow up with money, so I had if there was a magazine telling you a Kiss record came out, I had to find it at the doctor's office or some shit like that. It wasn't like...
Right.
Something I had in the house. Even though I did get a lot of 16 magazines when I was a kid.
Yeah.
It was usually after an album came out or some shit like that. For me, I Stole Your Love is the most, you know, the strongest song on the album, I think. It's just so powerful to me. But one question that I wanted to ask you was, so Ace does a song, right?
Yeah, he does Shock Me on there.
First song he does on a record, correct?
On a Kiss record, yeah.
Right, okay. So here's where I'm going with this. Do you think that by pushing Ace to sing and getting him to sing, instead of letting him sit back and do his backing vocals and play lead guitar, they were lighting the fuse for him to go, all right, look at that. I can do it on my own.
I think it gave him a little bit more confidence to actually step up to do it.
Right. But, you know, do you think that that was like, do you think that that was like the beginning? Like if they'd have just let him, you know, and at first he didn't want to sing, right? He wasn't interested in singing, you know, and they tried to get him to and he wouldn't. And then he finally did. And the next thing you know, you know, he's going, oh, look at that. I can sing live. I don't sound bad. People don't think it sucks. And, man, I should really start hoarding these songs for a solo album.
He'd already been hoarding them even prior to this.
Yeah, but you see how it all, I feel like it's all connected, you know?
It might have, like, pushed him more to, like, want to do the solo albums finally.
Yeah, yeah, you know, where he was finally, like, you know, and then once the solo album came out, then it was, you know, back in the back of his head. Just like Peter, you think? Or you think Peter was worse? Beth came out and he was like, I'm a genius.
Peter was probably a little worse than Ace, but I think definitely after the solo albums, Ace, well, obviously he had a bigger spot in the band. Look at Dynasty, you know, three cuts, as opposed to everything else, nothing besides Love Gun has one. Well, Live 2 has Rocket Ride, but you know what I'm saying.
Right.
I agree with Jody, because I mean, I think, you know, I mean, Ace, you know, once he did Shock Me, I mean, Shock Me has got to be one of the greatest songs ever that he did, you know, and I definitely believe that it gave him the courage, you know, to actually get up there and do it. But I mean, it doesn't compare as huge as what Beth did with Peter Criss, you know, and I think that song really gave Peter a big head on that, you know, really gave him a big ego boost.
Oh, no doubt. Beth was like the beginning of the end for Peter Criss, really.
Yeah.
You know? And Shock Me may have kind of been the same way for Ace, in a way, you know? Because if it led to him realizing he could do it on his own. But it probably had more to do with he didn't like the way the direction Kiss was going in. More than it had to do with he thought he was such a great solo act, you think? I don't know.
I mean, I agree with Jody on the fact that, I mean, if Ace probably never would have done Shock Me and then never would have got to get up and actually sing front on a couple songs, I think maybe the history of Kiss may have turned out differently, you know, if he would have just you know, sat back and just stayed as a member in the background, you know, maybe he may not have had the, you know, the courage to say, okay, well, you know, yeah, okay, I'm just going to go off and do my own thing.
Yeah. You know, the one thing about Kiss was the confusion by the by certain members that they weren't like how we call how we talk about sitting Ace sitting in the back and Peter sitting in the back. Really, nobody sat in the back.
No.
You know that you know everybody was a star. It wasn't like, you know who Scott Stapp is, but you have no idea who else is in that freaking band. You know?
Yeah.
It's like you knew Ace, Gene, Peter and Paul. You know who's in the band. So there, you know, Paul always said there were four stars. You know,
I don't mean he was sitting back.
I knew what you meant, but what I'm saying is do you think he felt that way? Do you think, you know?
Like he was in the back? Definitely not.
Yeah.
No, even not. Like in Paul's book, he's talking about how at the time, same time as like the Gallup poll and shit, like Ace and Peter were starting to be named in like Hit Parader and Circus as like the best drummer of the year and the greatest lead guitarist and all this, and that they were really buying into it, you know?
Right.
So, no, they definitely felt like they were just as big as Gene and Paul for sure. I mean, they were like the Beatles. It was like you had to have all four, right?
Exactly.
What do you think would have happened though? I mean, they knew they were going to do the solo albums in like 76, right? So that's why Ace was like hoarding some of those good songs. But what if he didn't even give them Shock Me and then Shock Me in addition to all the other great ones on his solo album? Imagine how much out of the water it would have blown the other three at that point.
Yeah.
Jeez, can you imagine?
Yeah. I love, man, I don't know. I love this album.
I do too, man. It's like, to me, top five.
Yeah. I also love how it starts, I Stole Your Love starts the Detroit Rock City movie, you know?
Oh, yeah, it's great. Scares that old lady senseless.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, all the Kiss records that they could have started that movie with, that's what they started with, you know?
That is like one of the greatest starters Kiss could ever use besides Deuce, don't you think?
Yeah. Did you get the video that I sent you? Somebody posted video of John Belushi on Saturday Night Live. He was... he's sitting, you know.
Oh, I saw it, but I haven't got a chance to look at it yet.
Yeah, if you watch the video,
She is on there or something.
Yeah, he's sitting there listening to these headphones, and the music's so loud you can hear. It's pretty cool.
It sucks that Kiss never did Saturday Night Live. You know, like a great just live footage of them back in 77 or 78 even. That would have been so cool.
Yeah. I would love to know the story behind why that didn't happen.
I read somewhere that Belushi was like into Kiss, and he was actually trying to get him to go on the show, but it just never happened. I don't know. It would have been cool, though.
Gene doesn't talk about it in his book. Paul doesn't talk about it in his book.
Yeah, Saturday Night Live, they just play like the radio crap anyway, though. I mean, look at all the other great bands that didn't play Saturday Night Live. I mean, certainly the Ramones should have and didn't, you know? The Dolls could have and didn't. So you can't look at Saturday Night Live. Like, they wouldn't even probably be hip enough to know about Kiss at the time. I mean, Belushi was, but that doesn't mean that, what's his name, Lorne Michaels, he doesn't have a fucking clue. You know, he's probably listening to hippie shit still.
Yeah, good.
You know what I mean?
Good point. Yeah. So let's talk about the songs on the record. What? Okay, so is I Stole Your Love all of our favorite, or do you have a different favorite?
It's my favorite overall, definitely. I know yours is Love Gun, right?
My favorite song goes number one, and then it would go, you know, Shock Me. You know, so, yeah, I mean, I Stole Your Love has got to be the greatest one on there.
All right, it's Love Gun for me, and then I Stole Your Love.
Both great, like, you know, album openers. You got I Stole Your Love starting side A, Love Gun on side B, opening track.
Right.
You know, smart move.
But if you look at, you know, like Tomorrow and Tonight, I give that a 5-star rating as well.
I do too.
You know?
I don't care that if Paul was trying to do Rock and Roll All Night again. It's still a great song. And I don't understand why they never really played it live. You know, why not?
Yeah, you and I, we did a show with Dustin from Music the Lifeblood, remember?
I do.
And didn't we have a discussion about how it wouldn't bother me if they finished the show? It wouldn't bother us if they finished the show instead of with Rock and Roll All Night every once in a while with Tomorrow and Tonight.
I'd rather have them both because you got to have Rock and Roll All Night, but you could this out for like Shout It Out Loud, you know?
Yeah.
Easily. Yeah.
Do you like that song, D-Rock?
I like Tomorrow and Tonight. You know, I mean, I especially like it because it's got like that old school rock sound, you know?
Yeah, it's got the Kissettes singing with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty funny. Kissettes.
It's a great a song that should have been an anthem, you know? Every once in a while, Kiss writes these anthems that don't become anthems. You know, it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
Like on the Eighth Day, for example. You know what I mean? That could have been the next big Kiss anthem, but it wasn't.
See, I look at Love Gun as like one of their anthem songs, I mean, it's like, it's just one of those ones that, you know, if you ask somebody to name five Kiss songs, that's definitely going to be one, you know, that they name.
You think?
Oh, yeah, I don't know. I think that's a tough call. I think there's so many, I mean, from talking to people.
Okay, let me rephrase that. From anybody that's an old school Kiss fan, not like the younger, newer Kiss fans.
Yeah, maybe.
I can see that. Sure.
Love Gun's popular.
It's one of the great ones, you know. It's Paul's favorite.
Yeah, it's Paul's favorite. Christine 16, classic.
Yeah.
Whoa. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think that it was smart for Kiss when they put out Alive 2 to make, you know, to put on the songs? You know what I mean? You know how they had it? They had Alive with the songs from the first three records and then Alive 2 after that and did not include the other songs. Do you think that it was smart to do that?
Yeah, because,
definitely. You know, when they put out Alive 3, it was just a hodgepodge of everything.
Yeah, but so many years had passed. But think about it. Alive was in 75. And 2 years later, do you want another live record with half the same songs again? No.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I still think they could have. I would have liked, you know, to hear some of the ones that didn't make it. You know, they could have had Take Me on there and Do You Love Me and Hooligan and what else? On the fucking misprint. But you know what I'm saying? They could have.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know. I wish that it was all live and then they would have saved those, you know, the extra studio side to work on the new record that came out before this damn solo albums or in place of, you know, in a perfect Kiss world.
What's the weakest song on the album to you guys?
To me, I would have to probably... I mean, is it too obvious to say Then She Kissed Me? Because it's
let's not even count that one.
Yeah,
yeah,
because
let's not
I
count
personally
that.
Love that one, but it's not a Kiss song, so it doesn't count in that respect. So in that respect, I'd say fucking Hooligan's the weakest song on here.
Yeah, see, really? and I love that song.
I know you do, but objectively, I think it's the weakest of the remaining tracks. What do you think?
I'm not a big fan of Plaster Cast.
Yeah, that's my second one.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so... All right, so we just flipped our things. So, yeah, for me, Plaster Caster, if we're not using Then She Kissed Me, is to me the weakest. I don't know why. You can send me an email and let me know, podcastrockcity1@gmail.com, and tell me I'm stupid. No, don't do that. But, you guys are going to
be like...
Yeah,
but it's like, even though I think Hooligan's the weakest, I still dig it, you know? But
yeah,
the weakest on a great album, you know, it's not saying that it sucks. It's just the weakest... of these awesome tracks.
Yeah, what about you, D-Rock?
I'm way off on you guys. You know, I mean, I honestly think that Almost Human and then She Kissed Me, you know, it's a tie for those two.
Oh, obviously, Jesus,
Then She Kissed Me is a cover, you know, but Almost Human, it just, to me, it just doesn't fit the groove, you know, the jive of the album. You know, it's like you have all these kick-ass songs, you know, that are like, all kind of similar and fit like the whole theme, you know, the same rock sound that they're going for. Then all of a sudden you have Almost Human that is just like total off tempo, total off style, you know.
Ouch.
It just didn't fit, you know, to me it didn't, you know. And then obviously Then She Kissed Me, you know, it's a cover, so you can't really classify it as, you know, a Kiss song, but I don't think they had any business even putting that song on an album.
The what? Then She Kissed Me?
Yeah.
Oh, I agree. I'll give that 100%.
I mean, that may have been just a song. They're like, well, okay, we can play this one. Let's put that on here to fill up space. You know, possible. But, yeah, I just... That just totally ruined the whole thing for me, especially to put it in the last song. You'd think they would put something that's really going to jump out and grab you and say, yeah, I can't wait for the next album. No.
Damn.
When I listened to Then She Killed, Jody, you're freaking out. Speech.
Like, what? That just totally ruined my heart on for the whole album.
Yikes. Dude, but I get what you're saying about Only Human being kind of the oddball on the record and the rest kind of have like a more straight beat and all that. But you can't tell me that it doesn't fucking rule. I mean,
No, I'm not saying it's not a good song. That wasn't the point. The point was it just didn't fit. So on that album, it's my weakest favorite.
But didn't you say it was the weakest? I don't know.
No, I said it's a tie between the two. Still, which one I said wouldn't fit.
Same thing.
You know, that wouldn't be on there. I mean,
I don't know, man. To be
when I listened to Then She Kissed Me. It always reminds, okay, I know one came out way before the other, okay? But whenever I hear Then She Kissed Me, in the back of my head, I always remember Twisted Sister doing Leader of the Pack. and I remember going, what were they doing? What were they doing? Thinking, you know what would be great for Twisted Sister right after we became one of the biggest bands in the world? Let's do Leader of the Pack. And everybody was like, yeah, man, that's a great idea. And to me, and we'll even cut a video.
I mean, when I heard them doing, you know, Then She Kissed Me, it reminded me of a stupid scene out of fucking Back to the Future.
Oh, thank God. I thought you were going to say Grease 2, and I was going to have to come to St. Louis.
You know we got to defend Grease 2 to the death.
Yes.
You guys, yeah. I think you're both crazy because I fucking love Then She Kissed Me. I dig everything about it. I can't believe you guys don't like it, man. I mean, yes, it's like the first time you really get to hear a Kiss cover because I had never even heard like Kissin' Time at the time. You know what I mean? And the Kiss version is nothing like that. So this is officially the first real Kiss cover. And it's a girl group song, which I happen to love. So for me, it hits all those right buttons, man. I think it rocks, and I think Paul did a great job on the solo. He sings it really well. And yeah, it's kind of different for Kiss, but I think it's kind of cool they went out of the box and did a cover. And at the same time, punk rock's happening, and there's nothing more punk rock than going back to the 50s and early 60s. So there you have it. So I think you guys are nuts.
Jody, you're just mad because Joe and I ganged up on you.
So you can tell by Jody speaking that he's wrong, and
I gotta wear the dunce cap this evening.
I'm kidding.
No, he's just mad because we ganged up on him on a song.
Two songs, Only Human. I mean, Almost Human. I used to be in a band called Only Human. It slips out sometimes. But Almost Human, that's one of the great Gene songs, and it is my favorite Gene song on this whole damn album.
Really? I think Whiskey 16's his best one on that album.
I think Almost Human has one of the great ace solos. I think Gene sounds gnarly, and he sounds like he's not quite human, and I love it.
I mean, I will give Gene credit on this album that he actually had a lot of, you know, the songs he did were actually all good. You know, they weren't super cheesy. You know, they actually all kicked ass, but, I mean, I'm just saying, and I'm not saying I don't like the song. I'm just saying it just doesn't fit the groove of the album.
All right, so we're going to let you guys out there that are listening decide. So email us at podcastrockcity1@gmail.com. That's the number one, by the way. And I will count up the votes, and we'll see who wins. Is Then She Kissed Me good, or is it shitty?
You already know the outcome of this. I mean, come on.
No, I don't. I'm listening to you, and I'm going, man, maybe I'm a dumbass. It's
like, no, I think that I think the average person feels the same way you guys do, but maybe those same people don't listen to quite as much different music as I do. I don't know. I like it, man. I think it's cool. Dance. And it's my favorite version of that song, and I like that song by a few different artists, but the Kiss version is my favorite, so I really like it. I try to defend it when I can because I know it's been eating shit for like 40 years. You know what I mean?
Gets chewed up. All right, so strongest song we decided, weakest song, and you know, I love Hooligan, man. It's one of those songs where you know, but how about this? When it comes to Hooligan, my biggest problem is that I can't unhear Peter singing it in at the Summit, you know?
Yeah. He sings it great live, man.
He tears it up, man.
Yeah.
And that, you know, satisfy you. You know, I'm going to go listen to that after we get done now.
It's pretty killer, dude. It's pretty killer.
But, you know, so that might be part of the thing. Because, of course, it sounds a little different than it does on the record. But, you know, when you watch it live, he's into it. This is his time, you know. It's like Peter, you know, singing in, you know, 75 when it was his turn. He let it all out there, you know.
Balls out.
Yeah.
That I really like Hooligan a lot, too, because it reminds me a lot of, you know, Getaway. You know, I mean, he's just rocking it out, you know.
Yeah.
He's got one of the greatest rock, like, whiskey voices in the biz, but he just won't use it anymore and hasn't since, you know what, probably since Hooligan. Let me ask you guys this, though. Do you guys feel that you know, this album is kind of an end of an era for Kiss?
Yeah.
I mean, because it totally is in ways. I mean, this is the last album they all four played on, you know?
Right. It's true.
In a lot of ways, though, it's like the band, not only at the height of their popularity, but musically, maybe Peter's not doing as much, like, fills as he does on some of the, you know, especially live, but, I mean, look at all their musicianship on this album. It's spot on. Ace is killing it. And has the best tone he's ever had on a Kiss record, I think. And then you just have to look at Shock Me Alone and go, look, man, this is the greatest guitar solo ever recorded, probably. Not only just Kiss, but in general, dude. I can't think of any other guitar solo that's that long and badass. Can you?
Yeah, no, it's pretty badass. You know, it's really strange because one of the things I have this real hit. I have a history with Good Times, Bad Times.
Yeah, that's a great one.
Zeppelin song, you know. Oh, yeah. And whenever I hear that solo, it always reminds me of Ace. It should remind me the other direction, you know.
Well,
when I, you know,
I mean, but Ace totally copped that, like on the beginning of Making Love. That's totally Good Times, Bad Times lick.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? So I put those solos together, you know. I love, you know, but it reminds me so much of Ace, man. It's just like,
well, if you don't want to go out on a limb and say it's the best solo ever, it's definitely the best Kiss solo ever. We can.
I agree to that. Yeah. You know, and Ace has got some real good ones. You know, we mention it all the time. You know, how many bands out there that, you know, when you're listening to their songs and they have solo, do you sing the solo, you know?
There's not a whole lot of them, man. There's a few, but none more so than Kiss.
Paige is one of the people that I do, you know. I'll be sitting in the car, I'll be driving down the road. My friend Mikayla and I would be cruising. All of a sudden, we get to this one point in the song, and all of a sudden she would go, "Wah-nah," and I would go, "Wah-nah," and she go, "Wah-nah, wah-nah." I don't know, you know, it's like, it's memorable, you know?
Yeah, I mean,
but so many of Ace's are, you know, I could throw out a title like Dark Light, and all of a sudden you hear,
absolutely, you know, man.
With Eric playing the Eric Estrada congos, and
yeah, we could totally play like Name That Tune and name it in one or two notes on every song, I bet.
Yeah, especially if it was with Ace's solos.
I know D-Rock could.
I do that a lot.
I would fail at that. I would fail at that.
Dude, I'll sit around sometimes with a guitar at D-Rock's, and I'll just try to stump his ass and just one chord, and he'll be like, oh, yeah, that's whatever it may be, you know, and he's never wrong. It pisses me off.
or he'll do that, and I'd be, well, that could be either this song or this song or this song, and he'll be like, yeah.
That's awesome.
He's really good at it for some reason.
So, what else do we want to talk about? Love Gun. The tour was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, the footage that we can find and see is always good. They were so raw.
Oh, yeah. You killer, know? Dude. Even if Peter's starting to maybe lose a little bit of his chops, it's still a killer.
They were very comfortable on stage together at this point, and
yeah, like a well-oiled machine, dude.
Yeah, they were. They were.
Let me ask you this, just hypothetically. Imagine Kiss, you know how they always talk about how they always wanted to go out on top, right? What if they would have just, like, went on tour for Love Gun? You know, they're the Gallup poll, you know, the most popular rock group. They're all over the world, the number one band. Even though they didn't make it to number one, it went to number four, right? Is that what that's what it said?
Right, yeah.
But still, what if they would have just kind of recorded a live two on that tour and hung it up, dude? And then you might have had, like, double platinum might have came out. And then a few greatest hits down the line. And then maybe some solo albums or something. But what if it would have been, even though...
What if they just hung it up right then?
Yeah, because in a lot of ways they did, you know? I mean, that is the end of an era. There's no doubt about it. Because going forward from this, what do you have? You have nothing. I mean, I guess you can count Alive 2 as still doing something. But after that, Peter's not on the records. He's totally checked out. And, you know, Ace is already thinking about it too, you know?
Yeah.
So what would have happened? So imagine Alive 2 is the last Kiss record unless they put out, like, double platinum, right? Do you think that 40 years later we'd still even remember Kiss? I mean, there would definitely be people who did, I think. But do you think it would be like it is now?
I think that by the time they... If they would have hung it up after Love Gun, they still would have been so ingrained in the human or American psyche that it would have been.
They could have came back in 96 and reunited, and it might have even been huger.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. You know, I'm not a huge Beatles fan, but, you know, how many records did they do together?
Not many. Nowhere near as many as Kiss.
Yeah. So, but how about from their first day together, you know, to their last day together, did they do as many records as Kiss, as, you know, from Kiss's first day to last day? So, you know, you had, I'm just saying,
like, in the golden era type of Kiss.
Okay. And once again, I'm only comparing, you know, some people will freak out when you compare Kiss to the Beatles, but you can't not. Their whole purpose was to be the Beatles, you know, when they first started.
Situation, you know.
Yeah, I mean, that was like their template, right? They wanted to be like the heavy metal Beatles.
Yeah, so if they would have done everything just like the Beatles, would they, you know, and said, oh, we'll do this, you know, we'll stay together the same amount of years, we'll go out? I don't know. I think
they made it as big as the Beatles in their mind. I think they decided to think, well, we could be bigger, you know, and just decided to keep pushing, you know.
And by 77, there was all the marketing too, right? The belt buckles and the posters and the everything, you know?
Yeah. They definitely wanted to be the Beatles. I just Googled how many Beatles records there were, because it was bugging me that I couldn't just rattle it off. And between 62 and 70, 12 studio records, 13 EPs, and 22 fucking singles.
So way more than Kiss at that point.
Yeah. See, that's what Kiss needs to get on, man. Get on that singles game like we talked about a couple weeks ago. And start just doing singles, man. That way you don't have that much money invested in studio time. You know, it'd be real simple for them to go in and bang out two songs in an afternoon. You know what I mean? Really?
Yeah, and then you go out on the road. And, they could record 12 songs, go on tour, and have a song released, every other week.
Yeah. I don't think they're going to do that, though. It's like we talked about on the premium show. It's like Gene has this whole idea that there needs to be this financial model, but we've already debunked that, you know? All you got to do is look at anyone else that's selling records. It obviously works for Taylor Swift, so it could work for Kiss.
Right.
I mean, they just don't sell records like a Taylor Swift, and Gene just can't accept it, man, you know?
And they never did.
Nope.
Nope, they never did.
It's crazy. I mean, what's the most successful Kiss record, and how many times platinum did it go? I don't even know. Is it Alive?
I would be Alive probably, and I think it was three times platinum.
That's it.
I can look it up.
Yeah, I was gonna say, man, look that shit up. That's something I need to know right now. I'm thinking though that, you know, in that hard rock vein, you can't expect to be as big as a Taylor Swift though. Anyway, you know. There's a big difference between a rock band and some pop princess. You know what I mean? So you can't even, yeah. It's apples and oranges. You can never expect to reach the heights of someone that's playing mainstream music when you're still basically playing music that's totally not mainstream, you know? No rock is mainstream these days, you know? And there's no rock and roll that is mainstream. Is there? I mean, it's all hip-hop these days, I think, and pop.
God, I don't know what what's up here. This can't be right because it says that the certification was gold, 500,000. Wow, looking at the right thing, Kiss Alive. Yeah, this is it. So that can't be right, right?
No, that's a little more than gold, I think. I'm trying to get on this Kiss Monster right now and find out. Let's Google everything tonight because other podcasts say it's not cool, but I think what's not cool. Never mind. I'm not going to get into all that. Don't get me started. Yeah, I'm going to take the high road on that one.
Yeah. Speaking of numbers instead, statistics, listen, you guys have been killer listeners, and we appreciate you going back and checking out all our old shows and everything. We're averaging per week now 20,000 plays, and this is amazing. You know, when I think about the fact that when I started this show years ago, I was just like, man, it would be awesome if, you know, 1,000 people a month listened, and that was a month, and now you guys are listening to 20,000 shows a month, a week, you know, 80,000 shows a month. I just want to say thank you, man. You know, yeah,
thanks a lot.
Yeah,
we'll check it out.
Dream. Yeah,
sorry to interrupt, but it finally came up on the Kiss Monster. It says that Alive is only gold, Destroyer's double platinum, Alive 2 is double platinum, and Smashes is double platinum. I don't see any other ones. Dynasty's platinum. Platinum, Lick It Up. Platinum Plus for Animalize. Asylum's platinum. Crazy Nice. Smashes is double platinum. And that was their last biggest record. Strange, right?
So, yeah, so what I read was correct.
But I think they quit, counting SoundScan shit in, 90-something. Right, so I mean, who knows since then? And it doesn't count as sales if someone buys it used, and a lot of people buy Kiss records used. So if you wanted to look at how many they've actually sold, I'm sure it's way, way, way more, because people initially bought them, then, you know, people like me got them used, and then we get rid of those and buy some more.
People that have five copies of the damn
exactly
of Dynasty because they found it at a flea market or some shit like that.
Yeah. And so that doesn't count in SoundScan, but it's still a sale officially, you know.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know. All I can say is Kiss entered pop culture, like you said, and will never be forgotten in that year. That whole era, when people think of that era, Kiss is involved with that. You got Kiss, Star Wars, it's kind of like that intro from Detroit Rock City sums up that period so perfectly. Yeah. You know,
you watch it and you know, it's put together so perfectly. I read somewhere that Tommy Thayer put that together, and
yeah, I did too. Good on him, because that's one of the best parts of that movie.
Yeah, the beginning is epic. You know, it's got all these things that throw you into the time period. Pictures of Jimmy Carter, pictures of Billy Beer, pictures of Farrah Fawcett, Happy Days, Starsky the Hutch. $6 Million Man. Yeah, you know, all these things
Kiss is part of that, you know.
Yeah.
There's really no other band from that time that is other than the fucking Bee Gees? I mean, I think that's all.
ABBA,
the Bee Gees. Something. Village People, maybe.
Yeah, Casey and the Sunshine Band. Yeah. But, you know, that's still a different style of music. That was when Kiss was hanging on in rock and roll, when all these other things were trying to take over.
Yeah. I mean, they eventually kind of succumb to it, according to Dynasty people, right? Even though we've dispelled that myth.
Yeah, because Dynasty is not a disco album.
Exactly.
Yep. What else?
Well, let's talk about the shit that came in the record, because that's really cool. You got the Love Gun itself.
Oh, yeah. It took me forever to find one, and I got one. And, the record sleeve.
Yeah, that's really cool.
With that logo. It's pretty cool with the blood.
It's really cool.
With the blood.
Kiss My Wax actually used that for their podcast. I thought that was real cool. One of the two really great video podcasts, Kiss My Wax and obviously the Mighty Kiss FAQ. I think it's pretty cool. It's a great logo.
Yeah. The I saw another new Kiss podcast that I hadn't heard of today. Yeah? What's it called? They had the same I can't think of it right now. I feel rude. But it's like, oh God, I got another one I gotta listen to.
I like Kiss podcasts. I think it's cool. I want everyone to do one.
They make you think, man. They make you think as a fan. Because
everyone has their own kind of, vision of how it was for them. But
yeah,
I pulled out the order form. It's unbelievable these fucking prices they had back then, dude.
Well, it's like $350 for a record. Yeah, for a poster.
The poster's $2. The Empire State Building, you know.
Yeah.
The fucking tour book is $3. It's crazy.
Yeah. I have two copies of that, and it wasn't $3. I'll tell you something else. One of my buddies is selling off his entire Kiss collection, you know?
Yeah.
And, he bought so much shit, and, you know, he kept coming to me. What do you think this is worth? Man, he called me up the other day and he was like, dude, you were right about this poster I have. He had a poster that somebody took brand new of the Ace solo poster, not the solo album poster, the one with the smoking guitar, you know?
Yeah.
Mounted it on some cardboard and shrink wrapped it.
Yeah.
And it never had a thumbtack in it.
Wow. So it's like mint under that plastic, huh?
Oh, my God. And I kept telling him, I was like, man, when you sell that damn thing, you're he goes, I paid $20 for it. Should I ask for $30? And I was like, no. I was like, I think there's somebody out there that knows its value. And it wound up going for about $150.
Yeah.
I was surprised. I was like, man, imagine that. $2. He wound up spending $20, right?
Yeah. But still, it's nice investment.
Still, to this, now here we are, people still buying this stuff. They got to have it. You know, when you're on Facebook, and I know you're not, but and D-Rock barely is, but
yeah,
you'll see people that are constantly saying, I love FedEx, I love UPS, they came in today.
Right.
And they open up their stuff and put it on, you know, and I'm going,
it's cool.
Pretty cool hobby, man. You know, that's the only band you can really do this with. Find stuff, you know.
Yeah, our buddy Chris Beauvais, he's always posting shit up there, you know, on Facebook about Kiss.
Beauvais hardcore.
Yeah, and, you know, and then you got people that are making puppets and custom dolls and
plushies in a box.
You have what?
I have the plushies like you would get out of the claw machine.
Oh, really?
My mom spent like $200 and actually called the place that fills the toys and the claw machines because they actually had the Kiss dolls in one of them at her old job. And she bought them, and then we paid and had them put in these like glass display box things, you know, and I have them hanging up on the wall.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then for my birthday last year, Jody bought me a Gene plush doll, dude, you know, from Slackers or something.
Yeah.
What's Slackers? Like a record store or something? Like
record / game
like
store.
Like a used game and CD and movie records and place.
It's like used media place, but they have a lot of Kiss shit for some reason, so. Yeah, got D-Rock, a big fat Gene Simmons.
That is awesome. All right, I feel like we've beat this one down.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's just one of the greatest records that from a band at the top of their game. How could you not love it? It's like,
yeah,
it's just Love Gun, dude. It's like, it's Kiss, yeah. Love Gun. It's just,
yeah, when you're done listening to this, slap that CD in or push the button on your phone that makes it play because you know you all have it.
Yeah, or just stick the record on, whatever you got to do, but check it out again. I mean, I'm sure everyone out there feels the same way. It's just one of those records. It's just like everyone agrees it fucking rules. Yeah! I've never heard anyone go, Love Gun sucks, dude. Have you?
I got a question for you guys about the third song that was on that album, Got Love for Sale.
Don't tell me you don't like that one either, right?
No, I love it. But what my question was going to be, Jody, is doesn't it kind of sound like, I don't know, like you think that that song should have fit better on like Dress to Kill?
Huh. You know what? I think I read somewhere in like that Behind the Mask book that one actually was considered for Dress to Kill, believe it or not.
Because, I mean, it sounds more like their sound from Dress to Kill than it does, you know, matching the others, you know.
I could see it. Also, supposedly, this is one of the ones that the Van Halen bros played on the demo.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, that we'll never hear.
I really do believe, though, that the Ace kind of copied Eddie's solo, because I think that solo and the Christine 16 solo, neither one sound like Ace, really.
Yeah, I was going to say, I thought that Eddie Van Halen played on Christine 16 also.
I mean, I'm not saying their versions are on the record. What I'm saying is Ace heard those demos and was like, basically just learned it.
Copied you know? It. Yeah. This is what to do.
Because especially Got Love for Sale doesn't sound like what something Ace would do, I don't think. And, well, Christine 16 really doesn't either, though. So I think Ace probably, Gene was like, man, these sound great. And Ace probably agreed, you know.
Said, I'll do it.
Hey, this is Rachel Bowen from Skid Row, and you're listening to Podcast Rock City.
All right. Well, thank you guys for listening. We appreciate it. Don't forget to go to iTunes and leave us a review. That would be very helpful. For some reason, they tell us. I don't know. We really do appreciate you guys listening. We talk about it all week long. Jody and I are constantly messaging each other back and forth going, man, we got the best listeners. Oh, yeah. You guys go back and check out the old shows. You listen to the new shows. Thank you very much. Don't forget you can send us messages. Podcast Rock City 1.
Esta es el número uno.
At gmail.com. As soon as you said it, I was like, I bet when you said it, in my head, I was like, he was waiting for this, and I screwed him out of his chance at the beginning.
No, what happened was when you said that thing at the beginning and how you were just like blowing through it, I Googled up how to translate it in case it came up at the end. So I hope I said it right.
I think you did just fine. Jody, you have anything to add?
I would just add, thanks so much, everyone who does listen. You know, we really do appreciate it. We do this for fun, but it's cooler knowing that there's so many people that listen. So thanks so much.
Yeah, and D-Rock.
And just along the lines with Jody, you know, we thank you all for listening, and we love you, and just keep it up.
Yeah, absolutely. And don't forget to keep D-Rock's daddy in your prayers. He's ill, and we want to... want to pray for him and hope he gets a little better. A lot better, actually.
Yes, thank you.
Absolutely. Well, you know what I'm going to say. We love Kiss podcasts. Well, man, you know, I listen to other kinds of podcasts, but the best ones you're going to hear commercials for at the end of our show in 3, 2, 1. Peace.
Peace.
You wanted the best, you got the best. And if you want the hottest show on Monco Radio, join us in the Kiss Room. The Kiss Room is a monthly radio broadcast celebrating the hottest band in the world. Kiss! It's your place for all things Kiss and some... For broadcast dates and all information, go to thekissroom.com. The Kiss Room broadcasts live and worldwide on Monco Radio, where music and minds meet.
All right, Kiss Army. Since 2007, you've been getting podcast, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
That's right, it's your podcast. Every month, the podcast crew, along with the Kiss Room, brings you Kiss Talk like no one else, whether it be roundtables, interviews with the band past and present, analysis, and great Kiss fun.
Hi, this is Ace Frehley, and you're listening to Podkiss.
Hi, this is Bruce Kulick, and you're listening to Podkiss.
The Podkiss, the Kiss audio fanzine for your ears.
History Science Theater, the most civilized.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, fuck, Lee. Come on.
Respectful.
Just imagine G with like a washed up bass. Boom, 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 boom.
And serious.
No, wait.
Excuse me, Bob. You're going to come over and do my album.
Kiss Podcast on the web. History Science Theater. We bust balls because we can.
Greetings from Jandel Kiss Army. Strange Ways Podcast is having a rock and roll party and you are invited. Right. Tune in and hang out with your Kiss Army bros where they celebrate and discuss the gods of thunder. Kiss. You can find the Earth versions on Podomatic, iTunes, Facebook, and Stitcher. Just Google us.
Yes.
Thanks for listening and remember to eat it like a piece of cake.
Hey everybody, I'm Aaron.
And I'm Chris.
And we're from the Decibel Geek Podcast. And if you love this...
then you'll love us.
That's right. Brand new episode every single Monday. You can find us on iTunes and at decibelgeek.com. And the best thing is, it's rock and roll and it's always free.
Ladies and gentlemen, do you like metal, punk rock, hardcore, and cracking jokes about being a fan? Yes? Then check out Music the Lifeblood, the podcast that goes deep into the core of being a fan with new music from badass bands, band and genre discussions, along with in-depth interviews from some of punk, metal, and hardcore's titans. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic, Tumblr, and Facebook. Something old, something new, what are you listening to?
Music, the lifeblood. Baby, you know it's only you and me. And as far as I'm concerned, that's all I need. A generation
behind. We're going nowhere and that's just fine. I'm afraid I've given you all the time I can spare at the moment, my dear. You'll have to come back. Thank you and goodbye.